We're learning Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Dalet. Today's shiur should be a zechus refuah shleima for our dear chazen, Rafael Moshe Leib ben Chai Rezel. Perek Yud Dalet. We had learned before what Amnon had done to Tamar. He violated her, and Tamar's brother Avshalom saw to it and instructed that Amnon should be killed. He was responsible for Amnon's death. For 3 years after this, Avshalom had gone into hiding. He fled into the territory. He fled to the Goyim, to the king of Geshur, where it was actually his mother had come from that country. And for 3 years, Avshalom was there. And Pasuk Lamed Tes, in the previous perek, it said, we learned, Vatchal David HaMelech. David HaMelech felt a strong yearning, Lotzeis al Avshalom, to go out to Avshalom. Ki nicham al Amnon kimeis. He was consoled over Amnon, that Amnon had died. That was it for Amnon. Now he wanted to make peace again with his son Avshalom. Vatachal David HaMelech. He's referred to as David, his personal name, and the king. Here in Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Aleph, Vayeda Yoav ben Tsruya, Yoav ben Tsruya knew, ki lev HaMelech al Avshalom, the heart of the king was on Avshalom. It mentions the king. It doesn't say ki lev David. It says ki lev HaMelech, the king had this strong desire, his heart was set on Avshalom. And the Mefarshim explain, David himself had a strong feeling to Avshalom for two different aspects. As a father, Vatachal David, David had this strong yearning for his son Avshalom. For 3 years Avshalom was gone now. And although as terrible as the action was, and as terrible that Avshalom killed his brother, but they were still family, and for 3 years already he hadn't seen Avshalom. Who knows what's happening to him? Among the Goyim, it certainly wasn't making him, we can assume it wasn't making him a greater Oved Hashem. Who knows what kind of an influence he's under? David had this strong feeling. He also had a feeling as Vatachal HaMelech, as the king. Avshalom did something that was wrong. We can look at it as murder, as a terrible deed that he did. But on the other hand, what Amnon had done was terrible. Amnon had went ahead as the firstborn, as the king, and he sort of felt he had the license to do whatever he wanted. He was very powerful. He was the king's son. And he went ahead and he did a terrible act. And to let Amnon get away with it would make it seem like if you're part of the royal family, you can do whatever you want. And Avshalom is the one who stood up for justice and decided that Amnon can't get away with it. And the people appreciated what Avshalom did. Avshalom wasn't going to allow the king's son to do whatever he wants. And an action like this deserved, they felt, a tremendous punishment. It was a lesson that such a thing should never happen again. So as a king, David felt for the nation, as a king, we should bring back Avshalom. Avshalom has suffered enough, and what he did have certain merit. As a king, we should bring him back. Yoav ben Tsruya was David's general. And as we've seen throughout, he seems to do a lot of things that are good for David, but we know he sort of has his own motives and his own decisions of what's important and what he wants to do. Over here, Vayeda Yoav ben Tsruya knew, ki lev HaMelech al Avshalom, that the heart of the king was to Avshalom. He didn't really think of it in terms of David's personal feelings, the fact of a father wanted to be back with his son. He was looking at it strictly as David is the king, what is best for the country. So Yoav ben Tsruya knew that the Melech wanted to bring back Avshalom, and therefore he's going to do what we'll learn about in this perek. Another pshat in Vayeda Yoav ben Tzruya was, Yoav ben Tzruya knew, Kilev HaMelech al Avshalom. The heart of the king was on Avshalom, that David had not totally decided to bring him back. He had this yearning, had this strong feeling, but he was held back. Because as much as he wanted to bring back Avshalom, there was that mixture of feelings. First of all, if he would bring back Avshalom, it could be interpreted the other way. That no matter how terrible a thing you do, if you're the king's son, you can come back. As he went ahead and he murdered Amnon, and now he's brought back. And David still had that. He didn't feel that he should bring back Avshalom. Kilev HaMelech al Avshalom, he had this taina, he had a grievance against Avshalom, and he just couldn't bring him back even though he wanted to. And Yoav decided, now's the chance, he will do what he could to make peace that David should bring back Avshalom. It's a question what his motive was. We'll see later on, Yoav, although he served David, certain things he did that David did not approve of, but although he was basically serving David, later on David had a son, Adoniyahu ben Chagis, he had a son that proclaimed himself as the king. Instead of Shlomo HaMelech, this other son made himself king. At that point, Yoav defended and went on the side of Adoniyahu ben Chagis. In other words, he was not loyal with David the whole time. And Chazal learned out, there's one pshat in the Gemara, it's the Machlokas, there's one opinion that he really wanted to go with Avshalom. Later on, Avshalom is going to rebel against David, and Yoav really wanted to be with Avshalom. But he was afraid, because at this point, David was still the powerful leader. At the beginning of Sefer Melachim, when we learn about this Adoniyahu, David was already old, and he wasn't well, and he was always cold, and he wasn't well. At that point, Yoav felt comfortable to support Adoniyahu. But really inside, we'll see later on when Avshalom rebelled, there's an opinion in the Gemara that Yoav really wanted to go with Avshalom. It could be over here, Yoav wanted to bring Avshalom back, and he was undecided whether he'll bring back Avshalom. Maybe he knew already Avshalom might be planning a revolt. He was already thinking, should he support Avshalom? So though he stayed with David, could be he did it simply for the betterment of Avshalom. Maybe he did have in mind David. We don't know exactly how pure his motives were. Were they good? Were they not good? But Yoav ben Tzruya knew Kilev HaMelech al Avshalom. The simple meaning is that David had the strong yearning for Avshalom, and he really wanted to bring Avshalom back, and he just felt he couldn't. Yoav is going to work things out that David would be able to bring back Avshalom. And he has an idea. He's going to bring a woman from Tekoa, and she's going to tell a whole story. She's going to tell a mashal, a whole story of what happened, and the king is going to decide what the judgment should be, what should be done, and based on that, it's going to be a lesson that David should bring back Avshalom. And again, we know before when David, in the incident with David and Bathsheba, Nosson came and he told him a story about a poor man who had a sheep, and the rich man had many animals of his own, and through that story, David accepted it, and he acknowledged his guilt. And when it was presented with a mushal, with a story, it was more acceptable. We're dealing here with a very sensitive issue. Avshalom fled because he killed Amnon. David really wants to bring him back, but he feels he can't. Perhaps if he does it through this story, he'll be more receptive and he'll be successful. And also, once it comes out through a story, and David gives an official ruling, this is what should be done, and then we draw the analogy to Avshalom, the people will understand it wasn't a special case for Avshalom. This is what David HaMelech decided in the incident of the story, and based on that, it's a logical extension to bring back Avshalom. So in Pasuk Beis, Vayishlach Yoav Tekoa. Yoav sent a message to Tekoa. Vayikach misham isha chachama, and he took from there a wise woman. The city of Tekoa was in the Shevet of Asher. Asher, there was an abundance of oil, of olive oil. And the Gemara learns out that olive oil is very good for the brain, very good for the mind. And people who have olive oil, there are those medical opinions who hold that now, but if you drink, you take olive oil, it's good for the mind. So in the city of Tekoa, it was known they had a lot of, there was an abundance of Shemen Zayas, and over there the people were wise. Also, Tekoa was far away from Yerushalayim. Yoav didn't want to take a local person, because the story that this woman is going to tell over to David is going to be a fabrication. She's going to make up a whole incident that happened, and if it's a local person, David can 1, 2, 3 find out if it's true or not. So he brought a woman from far away, from Tekoa, that if the king is going to want to verify the incidents of this story, it's going to take time, and the king will hopefully give a decision without verifying the facts, which we'll see. So he sent a message to Tekoa, and there's a third point of note with this city. It was a hilly terrain. It was a mountain. And the Mephoshim learned that somehow the people who live in the city, like we do, you become a little bit complacent, you're easygoing, you don't have a certain toughness that comes from living on the mountains and struggling with the whole geography is a difficult one. Somehow the mountain livers are tougher people, those who live on the mountains. And he needed a woman who would have the courage to speak to David HaMelech. We'll see how she speaks to the king and she argues her case. So he got somebody from this hilly country, from the area of Tekoa, and he brought from there an Isha Chachom, a wise woman. Vayomre Leho. And he said to her, Hisablino. She should mourn now. Pretend she's in mourning. Believe she know Vigdeyevel. And she should wear now clothing of a mourner. They shouldn't be clean. They should be, not nice clothing. Clothing like that a mourner wears. V'alta suchi shemen, she shouldn't smear on perfume, on oil, on lotions. V'yisin, she should be ki'isha, like a woman, zeyamim rabim, who for many days is misabela salmeis, mourning over a dead person. She should go through this process of pretending that she's in mourning. And Chazal learned out halachas from here. It says she shouldn't smear on oil, so we see from here a woman in mourning doesn't, an ovel doesn't smear on oil, and she's wearing clothing of an ovel that tells her that an ovel is not allowed to wash his clothing, including in smearing on oil is the fact that not to bathe, not to shower oneself. So a lot of the halachas of Avelis are learnt out from here. And he told her she should mourn, he's ablino. She should mourn, believe she know Vigde Evel, and wear clothing of an Evel. He repeats it because it's very bizarre for a regular woman to do this, to pretend she's an Avelos Chas V'Sholem. But he stresses it again because it's so unusual. And she shouldn't smear on oil, and she should be like a woman who for many days is Misabela Salmeis, mourning over a dead relative. It could be the kavana was to show that, we'll see in a moment, she's going to present her case to the king. And she's going to show that she doesn't have a husband to speak for her, she doesn't have children, she doesn't have a family. She's all alone. So by the fact that she's pretending she's an avela for so long, meaning she doesn't plan on remarrying, there's no one else who's, it's not like she's going to remarry and there's somebody else who will help her. But no, she's going to rely totally on David HaMelech. This is a long time she's been in this situation, and now there's a point in her life that she needs the king's help. Yoav brought this wise woman. We'll see, this is again such a sensitive point. He couldn't go to David directly and tell David, bring back Avshalom. He needed it to be done in this way. And he's going to need a woman who is going to be able to respond to whatever David says. Or he's going to prepare this lady what to say. David's going to respond. The woman's going to have to speak back, and there's going to be a dialogue back and forth. A lot of it is going to be on this Isha Chachama, this woman, to present the case in a way that David will be convinced. Uvas el hamelech. He tells the woman she should come to the king. V'dibart elov kadavar hazeh. And you should speak to him like this matter that he's going to tell her. V'yosem Yoav es hadavarim b'fiyo, and Yoav put the words in her mouth. Yoav told her what to say. It says, V'dibart elov, you should speak to him kadavar hazeh, like this matter. I once heard an Adam Godel, a great person, and he was saying that there's a certain greatness of a person who's able to repeat over a shir, who's able to repeat over something he learned precisely the way he heard it. Because people have a nature to embellish it and to flavor it and to put their own meaning and their own feelings and their own thoughts and their own understanding into the words. And to repeat over something exactly the way you heard it is very difficult. Yoav here gave her the license to present the case that she wants. He gave her the basic idea of v'dibarte lov kadavar hazeh. You should basically present the issue as follows. And he told her what to say, but he left her that ability to change it as she saw fit. V'tomer ho'isha tekoi sel hamelech. This isha tekoi said to the king, V'tibol al alpeo, she fell on her face, arza to the ground, v'tishtochu, and she bowed down, she prostrated herself. Vatomer, and she said, Hoshia Hamelech, save the king. The king should save her. The question is, the first part of the pasuk, it seems redundant. It says, Vatomer Hoisha Tzkoi Sel Hamelech, the Isha Tzkoi said to the king, and it doesn't tell us what she said. Afterwards, she said, Hoshia Hamelech. What did she say initially? There are a number of different explanations. One is that Vayosim Yoav es hadavarim b'fiyo, Yoav told her what to say, but Tomer Isha atakoi sal hamelech, and the woman told this to the king. And we'll see the whole dialogue, and it began that first she fell on her face, and she said, Hoshia Melech, the king should save her. But the first phrase is the opening remark for the whole conversation. It could also be Vatomer Isha atakoi sal hamelech. The Isha Tekoi said, she wants to speak to the king. She said, El HaMelech, I want to speak to the king. And it's an amazing fact in Klal Yisrael that you could have a woman who is an almana, who has some personal problem that's bothering her, and she can come and say she wants to speak to the king, and she gets in. And she had an audience. It wasn't always easy to speak to the king. We'll see later on in Perek Tesvav, Avshalom told the people that it's so hard to get into David HaMelech, if they would come to him, he would be able to help them out. So you can imagine, if everybody wants to go to the king, Avshalom has a point, it probably is difficult to get in. But here the Isha Tekoi's come, she wants to speak to the king, and she gets in. If it's not a busy day, you can get access. So she said, El HaMelech, she wants to speak to the king, and then the following events happened. It could also be the simple pshat, V'tomer Isha Tekoi Sel HaMelech, the Isha Tekoi said to the king, she said whatever you normally say when you greet the king, Chai HaMelech, long live the king, or whatever brachas a person says when he comes to see the king, she said, and then she fell on her face, and she presented her case, Hoshia HaMelech, or one final pshat, Vatomer, she said what we're going to see in a moment. She said Hoshia HaMelech. But she said it and she repeated it to reiterate it because she's going to tell over her story and she doesn't want to be immediately dismissed. She wants the king to realize the severity of what's happening to her and how difficult and how much she needs the king. So she said, El HaMelech, she said to the king, well, we'll see, she said. And she fell on her face. And then she said again, Vatomer Hoshia HaMelech, the king should save her. Vayomer lo HaMelech, Maloch. So the king said to her, Maloch, what is with you? Those two words. It could be he was bothered. It could be simply he wanted to know what's bothering her, what's distressing her. And other Mephorshim point out he was surprised that she came in and she was obviously in such a state of mind and such a difficult circumstance, And she came in, but he didn't know the story. Why didn't she come with her husband? Why didn't she come with her relatives? Maybe she has a complaint against her husband. Well, you don't know, what Malach, what happened to you? But Tomer, she said, Avol Ishal Mono Oni. Indeed, Avol, he means like in truth, the emes, Ishal Mono Oni. I'm a woman who's a widow, Vayomas Ishi, and my husband died. It seems redundant. She's an Isha Almana, she's a widow, and her husband died. That's how somebody, Lolenu, becomes a widow. But it could be, it's just telling over again how she's drawing on his heartstrings, and she's going to present her case to David just exactly how difficult. She's an Almana, and her husband died. And it could also mean she means to say that it's not just like her husband went away, and she's like an Almana because the husband's not here. But no, Vayomas Ishi, the husband died. It could be she's saying she's an Isha Amana Vayomas Ishi. What happened right now, if justice isn't done, and we'll see if her other son is going to be killed, she's going to feel it's like a tragedy, like again, her husband died. It could be she's saying, like Chazal used the expression, Hu halach l'menuchos, v'oza v'sonu la'anochos, that person, when he's nifter, so he goes into the world of truth, and he has his schar, and he leaves us with the suffering. So she says, I'm an Isha Amana, and my husband died, he's not here, but I'm left with an Amana, and I have this terrible story that happened. Another pshat, she's an Isha Amana ani, vayomas Ishi, I was an Amana, and then another husband died. And once two husbands died, she's an Isha Katloni, she doesn't remarry a third one. So she's not going to have any more, no more husband, no more children, except what she has right now. Your shivcha to your maidservant, that's how she refers to herself, shnevonim. She has two sons. Vainotsu shneim basode. The two of them were fighting in the field. There was no one to rescue, no one to intervene, and to break up the fight. One struck the other, and he killed him. Over here, she's being merames. It's a carefully worded. Every phrase here is teaching a different lesson, and it's going to be relevant to David and Avshalom. First she said, she has two sons, Vainotsu Shneim Basode. The two of them are fighting in the field. If there are two people alone in the field, so there's no witnesses, there was no warning, and even if one killed the other, Bezdin would not give a punishment. And that's basically what happened with Avshalom and Amnon. Avshalom went, and he had Amnon killed. But the only people who saw were those in the family who fled. There were no Edom, there were no witnesses, there was no warning. It was comparable to these two brothers fighting in the field. There was no one to intervene. Nobody broke it up, nobody tried to make shalom. And it's a separate phrase as if besides the fight right now, there was no one. Even previously, whatever skirmish, whatever friction there was, nobody ever tried to make shalom between these two brothers. There was a fight, and there was never a matzil. Nobody ever tried to make peace and tried to prevent such a thing from happening. And again, that's sort of a lesson to David. In other words, Amnon did this terrible thing to Tamar. And time went on. 2 years went by, and Amnon wasn't punished. Nobody was there to save. Nobody was there to see Avshalom inside has such an anger against Amnon, and nobody does anything. And the time just goes by, goes on, and nobody's doing anything. Ve'matzil ve'nayim. There's no one to save and to rescue the situation. Also, she has these two sons. There's no father. She was an almana. The two sons are growing up without guidance. And one of the Mephoshim points out again, David HaMelech, for whatever reason, when we, Amir Tashem, if we get to Malachim, we'll see over there, David HaMelech v'lo atzavo aviv miyomov leimor madua kocha usisa. David HaMelech didn't rebuke his children and criticize, why did he do this? I assume he used positive reinforcement and encouragement, but he never said you're doing something wrong and criticized them. For whatever reason, David didn't criticize them. She's telling him that you have these two brothers alone in the field who have a mother who's an almana, there's no father figure, and that's basically what happened with Avshalom and Amnon, because she didn't say it, but it was understood. David HaMelech also wasn't guiding and criticizing and correcting them. Vayakov ho'echad es ho'echad. Now, it could have said vayach. If meant to say that one hit the other, it should say vayach ho'echad es ho'echad. One hit the other. Vayakoi with the choyim there, vayako, and he hit him, makes it sort of like a redundant expression. Vayako, he hit him. Ho'echad es ho'echad. One hit the other. It's almost like in Shmos it says, when Basya Bisya, whatever, opened up the box and she found Moshe Rabbeinu was inside, it says, Vatiftach, she opened up, Vatirei, when she saw him, Esayela, the child. And the simple meaning is she opened up and she saw the child. But Chazal say, Vatirei, she saw him. Meaning she saw the Shekhinah, she saw that there was something special with this baby. Vatireyu, she saw him, Es HaYeled, and she saw the child. But when it's worded like this, it's as if Vayakoi, he hit him, and then also one hit the other. Ho'echad es ho'echad. Meaning there was obviously a fight going on. And they were trading blows. So when one killed the other, it wasn't a simple case of Ritzicha. It was a case of self-defense. The two were fighting, and one of them, Vayakoi, he hit him, and then, Ho'echad es ho'echad, one hit the other. There's like two separate parts to this story. They were fighting together, so the one who killed the other is like somebody killing a rodef. If somebody's being pursued and his life is in danger, he's allowed to kill the one who's pursuing. So, it's not really a case of Ritzicha. And here also, this is a little bit of a stretch, but you could say that Avshalom felt that Amnon did whatever he did and he didn't care for anyone. He wasn't afraid. He did whatever he wanted to Tamar. Tamar said, if you ask the king, he'll give you to me as a wife. And Amnon wasn't interested. He felt he could do whatever he wanted. And this was Avshalom's sister and that didn't make a difference to Amnon. And Avshalom felt threatened. Here's a guy like Amnon who feels he can do whatever he wants and get away with it. Could be he felt threatened. So whatever he did, we don't look at it as a simple case of Ritzicha. Vayako ho'echad es ho'echad vayomes oso. One struck the other and killed him. Ve'hine, and behold, kamachol ha'mishpacha. The whole family got up, al shivcha secha, and they stood up against your shivcha, against herself. The family, together, now confronted this almana. Kama kol ha-mishpacha al-shivchasecha. The whole family confronted your maidservant. Vayomru, and they said to me, Tani es makei achiv. Hand over the person who killed his brother. Unemiseihu, and will kill him, benefesh achiv asher ha-arog. Because he killed the life. He took away the life of that brother. He killed. The son who's the murderer, hand him over. And we're going to see that he should be killed. And we'll destroy the one who's yarshining, who's hoping to take over the whole estate. It could be the simple meaning is, if there are two brothers and one kills the other, when all the Yerusha goes to the next generation, now it'll come out that the Rotzeach gets everything. It's the unfair chain of events. In other words, one killed the other, and then he ends up getting everything. We're going to destroy the Yoresh. So the Almana said they're going to like extinguish that coal. There was a little bit of life, a little bit of light in my life. There was one coal. She lost already a husband. She lost already a son. There's one gachelis, one coal. Asher nishara, and that remained. And they're going to extinguish that. And it could be it's also referring to the fact that David has these two sons. Amnon is killed. Avshalom is now among the Goyim for 3 years. whatever coal, whatever spark he has of Yiras Shamayim is in danger of being extinguished in the harmful influence of living in Geshur. Levilti seemly ishi shame. They don't want a place, my husband, a name. His name shouldn't be carried on. If he would have living children who would continue doing the right things, Zuchus would carry on. They don't want my husband to have any name. Usha'eris, and there should be no remnant. The whole estate, the whole Yerusha, the whole status of the father, everything will be lost. If the second son is killed, there won't be anyone left. Shame usha'eris al-pnei adama. There won't be anyone left on this world and the land. This is a very strange story. What happened? We'll see later on. David is going to accept it, and then the woman is going to say in Pasuk Yud Gimel, "V'lomo chashavta kazos al amo Elokim." How could you think that this such a thing would happen in Klal Yisrael? How could you think it would happen? But this is a story, and that's why she has to preface it. The king should save her, and she's got to be very. She has to put on a good act. She has to show that she really means it and it's a believable story and David should accept what she's saying. The family came to her. Kama kol ha-mishpocha. The whole family got up against your shivcha. And they said, Tanias make ochiv. She should hand over the one who killed the brother. This is not the rights of a goel hadom. Normally, if somebody did commit a ritzicha, a murder, even if it was b'shogeg, there's a din of b'shogeg. If it was an accident, he can go to the Ari Miklot. But there are cases where the family has the right, there's a din of goel hadom, that the family is the ones to exact justice and the retribution. But there's no law that they have a right to demand that others should turn over the rotzeach, to hand them over. As if they happen to meet the Rotzeach, Kiecham Levovo, and their heart is all heated up and they're all upset about what happened, there is a din that they could kill the Rotzeach. But they have no right to go to the Shivcha, to go to the mother and say, you have to hand over, she should hand over her child. That already is beyond their legal right of a Goel Hadom. And some of Forshim learn, they like pouring salt on the wounds. They stressed it to her. They said, hand him over. V'nashmida gamas hayoresh. Our intention is to destroy the yoresh. Remember, this Almana had two sons. That's all she had. Normally, the Yerusha of the man goes to his children. And the Almana is living from the estate. But after the Almana is not living from the estate, if there are no sons, the property goes to the husband's family. Now, if there will be a son alive, everything will go to the son. So they told her very clearly, we would like you to hand over the son that's the murderer, and we will kill him. And once he's killed, we'll get the whole Yerusha. And they told her clearly that was her intention. B'nashmida gamas ha-yoresh, we're going to destroy the yoresh, that nothing will remain from the family, and they will take over the Yerusha. V'chibu es kachalti asher nishar, and they'll extinguish that last coal that remains, that my husband won't have a shame, u'she'eris al p'nei adam. Vayomer HaMelech El Hoyisha. The next few psukim have many different ways of being understood. But first, we'll go through the psukim and then we'll come back. Vayomer HaMelech El Hoyisha. The king said to the woman, L'chi leveiseich, go to your house. V'ani atzave oloyich, and I'll issue instructions. I'll give a tzivui, I'll give a command what should be done with you. It's not clear, did David HaMelech accept what she said? Maybe he was going to investigate it. He said, go home. And I'll take care of it. Vatomer Hoyisha Tekois. This woman from Tekoa said El HaMelech to the king. Now it could be Yoav, again, realized that David HaMelech would search into the story. He said, sure, go home and I'll look into it. Could be that was, again, as we mentioned, part of the reason he took a woman all the way from Tekoa, that she would be able to stress that action has to be taken now, and there's no time to investigate, because I live all the way in Tekoa, and her son over there is in danger. So the Isha Tekoa said Elamelech to the king, Olai Adoni HaMelech HaAvon, on me, my master the king, is the Avon, is the guilt, is the sin. V'al Beisovi, and it's going to be on my father's house. And the king and his throne are clean, or they're absolved of any guilt. Meaning, if you say I should go home, and you'll take care of it. The king has many laws. And it's understood that not everyone follows and does what the king wants. Of course, people break the laws and they do the wrong thing, and then the king gives the punishment. So you're going to issue instructions that nobody should do anything, and then if the son is killed, obviously the king will take action or give a punishment, but the guilt's going to be on me. As I know I have a son, and the son's in danger. And you're telling me you'll take care of it. So you're absolved, you're saying you'll take care of it, and if somebody disobeys your instructions, he'll get a punishment. But at the end of the day, if the son is killed, so where does that leave me? So a lie, the guilt and the sin will be on me. I could have taken action, I could have done something. The king and his throne are innocent, but you haven't helped. Vayomer HaMelech. So the king says, Hamadabre Layach, the one who speaks to you, and he's speaking to you and he's obviously saying he wants to get that son. Vahaveso Eli, you should bring him to me. Velo Yosef Od Lagasboch, and he won't continue any more touching you. As long as you say he's got to go to the king, they'll leave you alone. And the Mefarshim point out, if he's speaking to this almana, it should have said Vahave Siv with a chirik and diktuk. It was said you should have brought him. But the implication here is he knew that this woman is not going to have the power to bring anybody to justice. The king said, Hamadaber Elayach, he spoke to the almana, the one who speaks to you and demands your son. And then David HaMelech said to one of his servants, V'haveso Eli, you go along, and anybody who starts up with a woman, bring him back to me. V'lo Yosef Od L'gasbach, and then he told Almana, nobody will start up with you. I'm sending my man, and anybody who starts up will be brought back. V'atomer, she said, Yizkor No HaMelech, the king should remember now, Es Hashem Elokecha. You should remember Hashem, your Elohim. May harbas goel hadom l'shaches. It could be the meaning is, may harbas goel hadom, it's going to cause an increase in goel hadom, l'shaches, and destroying. In other words, if over here, you're not going to take ample measures, it's going to lead to an increase in bloodshed. There's going to be a rabbas, an increase in the goel hadom, people taking, avenging their relatives' death, l'shaches, to destroy. V'lo yashmiru espini! They shouldn't destroy my son. Vayomer, so David said, Chai Hashem, by the life of Hashem, he swears, im yipo misara espineich orza, I swear not a hair from your son will fall to the ground, he'll be protected. Now again, she pressed her case with David HaMelech three times. The king first said, go home and I'll command. I'll give a command for you. And then the king said again, whoever says the wrong thing to you will be brought to me. And then a third time, the king has to swears to her. First of all, we're going to learn from this incident again, everything that's written here in the Novi is Hutzricha L'doros. It has lessons that are involve us for all generations. But we also see, first the way David HaMelech dealt with this almana. She came in, and she speaks to him very forcefully. Yizkor No HaMelech, she's speaking to David HaMelech, the tremendous tzaddik, and the powerful king over the whole nation, everything. She's speaking to David, and she's saying, you should remember Hashem. She's giving him musar, and she's telling him how he should behave. And she presses him again and again that he should do what she wants until he finally swears to make her happy. You see the way David HaMelech dealt with this almana with such caring and compassion. A number of different ways the Mefarshim understand this. The Radak says, The king said to the woman, "L'chi leveisech, go to your house. V'ani atzav eloyich. I will give instructions that nobody in that family should touch your son." The woman said, "Olai Adoni HaMelech HaAvon." She meant to say that David is going to be guilty if anything happens. But she had to speak with a certain amount of kavod for the Malchus. So she placed the guilt on herself. But her intention was, "Olai Adoni HaMelech HaAvon, the guilt will be on David HaMelech if you promise nothing will happen. And then something happens, there's no excuses. You're saying he'll be protected, you should know if anything happens, you'll be held to blame." Vayomer HaMelech, so the king said, "Whoever speaks to you and says the wrong thing, bring him to me." Meaning again, I'm going to assign somebody to go along with you. As we mentioned, Vahavesoi, he spoke to one of his Meshorsim, one of his Avodim, and he said, "Go along with the woman. I told her that her son will be safe. You go back with her, you'll be like a personal bodyguard. You'll be a bodyguard, and the son will be okay." Vatomer, so she said, "You should remember, Mehar Baskoil Hadom Lashaches. There's not just one person, there's a whole family. They're all after him. There's an increase in Goel Hadom, and they're all out to destroy my son. So the first guy who's going to come and going to want to take justice, your servant will bring him back to Yerushalayim. And then when the next one starts up, nobody's going to be here. You're sending one bodyguard. There's a whole family that's after my son." So then the king said, "Okay, he'll swear. Chai Hashem." He let it be known. He swore, and already the news went on that a woman came and David HaMelech got up and he swore that nothing would happen. And once the news goes out that David HaMelech swore that this son should be protected, she knew that he would be protected. Rashi says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, her last point of her last comment to the king was, "Yizkor no HaMelech es Hashem Elokecha." Remember the way Hashem, your Elohim, was so concerned about a rotzeach in the Goel Hadom. If somebody killed the Shogeg by accident, there's Ari Miklot. And the Ari Miklot there are six of them in Eretz Yisrael. Three on one side of the Yarden and three on the other. And they're spaced at distances that it should never be too far for the Rotzeach to flee to the city of refuge. There's always a city of refuge not too far away. Remember Hashem Elokecha, Mehar Bas Goel Hadom LaHashches, that Hashem didn't want there to be an increase in Goel Hadom and that there should be destruction. V'lo yashmiru es b'nei. So don't just give me your promise and your word, but you see, there's got to be a greater concern. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want the Goel Hadom to kill the Rotzeach. And then David HaMelech swore and he said, the child will be protected. Another way of learning, the king said, "Elisha, go to your house, v'ani atzav eloyich, I'll appoint a shliach. I'll make a messenger. I'll give a command regarding you." So the woman said, "You're going to make a messenger. You're going to make a shliach. And later on, if the Goel Hadom speaks to your messenger, and he explains how he really, my son deserves the death penalty," she says, "and he convinces the king's servant that really he should be allowed to do what he wants to do. At the end, Olai Adoni HaMelech HaAvon, I'm going to be left with the guilt. You're pointing a messenger. If something goes wrong, I'm left with the guilt that I didn't protect my son. V'Hamelech V'kisa Noki, and you're innocent because you appointed a messenger, and if the shliach doesn't do a good job, so at least the king tried. And as you feel, what you're doing is reasonable from the bureaucracy. But for me and my son, it's not acceptable." So the king said, "Hamadabrei Layach, the one who speaks to you, bring him to me. I will deal with it. Don't worry about a messenger. You're right. Let them know that I myself am going to deal with this case." So Vatomer, the woman said, "You're going to deal with it? I mean, the Goel Hadom, the relatives are going to come to you, and they're going to explain why they have a right to kill the other son. Just remember, Yizkano HaMelech Es Hashem Elokech, I want you to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want the Goel Adom to destroy. And when David HaMelech heard that, he swore and he said, okay, I'll swear, even if the Goel HaDom is coming and you're not around, and he's going to give me his whole story, don't worry, I'm not going to accept it. I heard what you said, and your son will be safe. Another pshat is, the king said, I'm going to command somebody to be in charge of this. We'll establish a commission, we'll make an inquiry, there'll be people in charge of seeing who's really right. So the woman said, take my word for it. If I'm lying, the guilt rests with me. Right now, I don't want it to wait till you investigate and you see. It should be a clear decision that my son is safe. And if I'm lying or I'm not saying it accurately, Olai Ha'ovon, the guilt will be on me and on my father's house. And I'll take responsibility. So the king said, okay. Whoever speaks against you, Vaveso Eloi, bring him to me, and your son will be safe. She said, Yizkono HaMelech Es Hashem Elokecha. You should remember Hashem Elokecha. Meaning there was an incident earlier. There was an incident in the Torah with two brothers, and one killed the other, Cain and Hevel. And Cain was afraid that he was going to get killed. V'hoya kol motzi yargeni. The animals could kill him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, we're going to give a sign. We're going to vayosam Hashem l'kayin os. Hashem made a sign that Cain should be protected. That Cain, even though he did such a terrible thing, Cain shouldn't die. And she added that Mestama was part of the Hashem's compassion on Adam HaRishon, that Adam HaRishon had one son who was killed. His other son, Cain, shouldn't be killed. But this is the same thing. Remember Hashem Elokecha, that there shouldn't be allowed to be a Goel Adom to kill the other son. And v'lo yashmiru aspini, and again the king swore. Another pshat, v'ani atzave oloyich, the king said, I'll command about you. She had two complaints. The first complaint was they were out to kill her son. The second one was that they wanted her to turn him in. So the king said, ani atzave oloyich, I will command regarding you, that they will not force you to hand over your son. Which was correct. She wasn't, why should she have to turn over her son? There's no din that the Goel Hadom can demand that. So she said, Olai Adoni HaMelech Avon, is the guilt on me? Like a bit me a question. Is the guilt on me? You're telling me I will be left alone. Of course I'll be left alone. I didn't do anything wrong. The problem is not me. The problem is what's going to be with the son. Olai, is the guilt on me? And also, Vamelech Vekiso Noki? Do you think the king in his throne will be innocent if you just give instructions that I should be left alone? That's enough. So the king said, Hamadabre Layach, the one who speaks against you should be brought to me, Vlo Yosef Od Lagas Boch, and they won't touch you anymore. Bring him to me. So she said, yeah, but it's still not, in other words, you've answered the second point, that it's not enough, Vamelech Vekiso Noki, are you innocent by just putting somebody in charge? So the king says, okay, bring them to me. So you've answered, the king is really getting involved. But it's still not enough that you're protecting me. Vatomer Yizkano HaMelech, remember that there shouldn't be so many Goel Hadom. And so the king swore. And the final pshat will say, I don't usually say so many pshatim, but it says there's so many different ways of learning up these psukim. The Malbim learns like this. What she said was, the king said, L'chi leveisech, go to your house, v'ani atzave oloyich, and I will give a command regarding you, that they shouldn't force her to say where her son is, and they, which she was really entitled to anyways. They didn't have the right to demand, as we said. They didn't have the right to demand that she should turn over her son. But with the first matter, she didn't have a right. There's a law that a Goel Hadom has a right to kill the murderer of their relative. So she's asking two things. She shouldn't have to turn over the son, and the son should be kept alive. Should be left alone. So the king said, Ani atzave oloyich, as far as you're concerned, I will leave instructions, they should leave you alone. But I, more than that, about your son, they're correct that they have a right to, as a Goel Hadom. So she said to the king, Olai Adoni HaMelech HaOvon. On me, HaMelech David. Against, on me, the king is the Ovon. Meaning, you're looking at it, there are cases where the king, even if somebody is not Chayiv Misa, a king as the monarch and as the ruler is allowed to give somebody the death penalty even if he doesn't deserve it. There's a certain power of the Malchus. She said to him, over here her son should be protected. And you can't say that over here he should be given over to die because Olai Adoni HaMelech HaOvon, the guilt is on me, Val Beis Ovi. This is a personal thing in my family. You don't have to worry that if you let the murderer get away with him and you protect him, somehow that's going to have an effect on the whole country and on the Malchus. No, this is a personal thing and nobody else has anything to do with it. It's just in my family. So the king said, Hamadabre Laich, the one who speaks to you, bring him to me and he won't touch you anymore. In other words, he won't investigate it and the king will take her claim and he'll protect her. But he still didn't want to guarantee that he's going to protect the child. So Vatomer, she said, Yizkono HaMelech es Hashem Elokecha. The king should remember Hashem, may harvest Goel Adom l'shaches, that there shouldn't be such a Goel Adom and such destruction, because over here their intention is not as a Goel Adom. Here what they're going to do is, by killing the other brother, is just like whoever's a relative of the first brother is a relative of the second brother. It's not the normal case of a Goel Hadom where they're defending their family against a stranger. Here, there's two brothers. So the king swore, Imipo Misaras Bnei Chartza, that not a hair will fall from his head. Vatomer Aisha. So the woman said, Tidaber no shivchoscha el Adoni HaMelech. Let now your maidservant, your shivcha, speak to my master, the king, Dovar. Let me say a word. Vayomer daberi, and the king said to her, speak. She's again asking permission. Because till now, she presented a story as if this was her personal problem, and she wanted the king's help. Now she's going to switch and show how this involves Avshalom, and that's again, she's questioning and she's telling the king to act differently. She's questioning his behavior, and she's telling the king he should do something differently. So she again, before she begins this, she asks again permission to talk. Vatomer Aisha, the woman says, V'lomo chashavta kazos alam Elokim. Why did you think that such a thing could happen to Klal Yisrael? Such a thing could happen among the people of Hashem. Umidaber HaMelech HaDover HaZeh. When the king speaks such a thing, it's ka'ashem. It's like the king himself is guilty. Even to assume that the story is true and to carry on a conversation and give a decision, how could you even think such a thing would happen in Klal Yisrael? One son was killed and therefore you should kill the other one. Just even thinking like that and speaking like that is a certain a guilt. But the Pashut explanation, she's saying, from the king speaking like this, ka'oshim, it makes the king guilty. She said, ki'oshim, like somebody guilty, because again, she's not speaking so bluntly, but she's couching words, it's comparable to a person who's guilty. Because levilti hashiv hamelech es nidcho, because the king is not bringing back his outcast. You caused Avshalom to flee. He fled because he was afraid of you. And he's there, and you don't bring him back. And exactly the story that happened with my two sons is what's happening with you and Avshalom and Amnon. Amnon is killed, and now Avshalom is cast away. Umidaber HaMelech HaDover HaZeh. From the king saying this thing, Ka'oshim, don't tell me you were wrong. Rashi learns, don't say you were wrong in what you said. Don't change your mind. What you said about my son was correct, that the son should not be killed. And when you say such a thing, Ke'oshem, don't say you're guilty and it was a wrong decision. It was a correct decision. And therefore, Levilti, Hoshiv HaMelech Es Nidcho, there's a complaint. Why isn't the king bringing back his own son, who's been an outcast? And she mentions four different arguments why the king should bring back Avshalom. We'll stop here and resume Yirtzeh Hashem next week.